AI is exponentially improving, but the people are not moving at the same speed. And without people, then the AI is not quite as powerful.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operations. Today, I have the pleasure of hosting Bradley Collins. Hey, man. Good to see you.
Hey, Sagi. How's it going? Good to see you.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for joining me today. Bradley is the CEO and co-founder of Legal Tech Talk. You guys are the Europe's largest event provider for legal transformation. We've had the chance to talk and work together in the past, but I'm excited to learn more about you and what you guys are seeing. But maybe to set the stage and even just get a sense of what you guys do and your path, I would love to just hear a little bit about how you got to start Legal Tech Talk, what you guys do, and just a little bit about your kind of career path.
Sure. Yeah. And again, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Just a bit of background. I've been involved with building big communities of people in various different industries throughout my career. I've been pretty lucky in my early career that I joined already market leading companies. I started at Central Media, which runs a lawyer, but at the time they run a lot of different media brands and event brands and awards and subscription businesses across a lot of different industries. And the common thread was always about transformation and innovation in various sectors. So I worked in a marketing portfolio there. At the time, things like programmatic advertising became a thing, which, you know, transformed advertising. I was involved with building a show called the Festival of Marketing, which became the biggest marketing event in the UK at the time. I was there for quite a few years in commercial roles, doing partnerships with a lot of different tech vendors that wanted to get into the space. So I got to hear from the vendors that were innovating and doing some cool different things. From there, I went to a FTSE 250 business, Essential. They run the biggest fintech show in the world with Money 2020 and the biggest advertising event in the world with Cannes Lions. Huge events, like Money 2020 is like 12 plus thousand people in Vegas, a similar number of people in Amsterdam. One year, I'm sure they had Snoop Dogg perform the after party and they would get the founders of Monzo and Revolut and all the disruptors in the space coming along. Cannes Lions, a whole nother beast. I think it's like 100,000 people in Cannes. Google taking over the beach and ad agencies all having yacht dinners and events happening, and there's like thousands of smaller events all over the town. So these were super inspirational for me as events. I worked on the retail portfolio within that business. So we did a big event, and so we had the Jack Ma from Alibaba coming to speak and CEOs of all the big retailers. And again, always about transformation and change and innovation. So that's been at the core of everything I've seen. From there, I joined a startup in year one in the insurance sector, and we built the biggest insurance sector events from the ground up in Europe, in Asia, and the second biggest event in America. Again, a lot of change. I see a lot of similarities with legal, which I'm in now, and these other industries. They all went through some sort of evolution and shift and change, and the business model shifted and changed quite dramatically, and there's a lot of disruption. So yeah, that sort of led me to Legal Tech Talk. I can tell you a bit more, but I saw a gap in legal. There seemed to be an industry ripe for disruption, and there seemed to be a gap in the market for a similar event to what I saw in other industries in the space.
Maybe a good place to kind of dig into, and as you were talking, it made me realize how it's almost like an interesting course correct. You know, we do that as humans all the time. You know, we go one end, we realize, oh, we went too far to this side. And then we swing to the other side. And what I'm starting to feel, and I don't know if you see it too, I'm sure you are a lot closer to this, but it feels like the more AI, the more technology, the more digital, you know, the more we went home to work from home after COVID, and again, the more sort of like unhuman interactions work becomes, the more people look for those communities and events, and the importance of communities become even more relevant. You know, you touch about the ad world from a different angle, but it's almost like, how do you shop? And how do you choose vendors? But even on the consumer side, right? Like the joke I always have is my wife buys from Instagram. She eventually buys from Amazon. Well, like the flow for her to buy things goes through Instagram. It's almost like the importance of communities was always high, but it's just getting higher with the more we become better at technology, the more we actually need the communities and not the opposite. Do you feel that? Like what is your take?
Definitely feel that. And I think COVID did have a big effect, you know, with 2-3 years talking, seeing people in person. post-COVID, we did the insurance event just like on the cusp of when you could all get together again. Our first event was in London, and a few months later, we did a big event in New York. And the buzz was just insane when everybody could get back together again, the smiles, people hugging. And I think, you know, a lot of people say to us, oh, do you stream your sessions at the event live so people can see it from around the world? And we say, no, like, we want people to get together. And I think that's where a lot of the partnerships happen. People want to validate what is out there because there's so much noise and so much out there. So like being able to talk to peers, understand what your peers are doing, what are your competitors doing, touching and feeling what's out there. I think you can't really replicate that. And it's why, like, when we started our business, our investors are like, will AI disrupt the event business? And it can make us more efficient in organizing the event, but actually the concept will not change. We want to get together and be in person with each other. And I don't think that will ever change.
Maybe not many people understand maybe the complexity and structure needed to organize some of those massive events. And I think where you do look at the combination of, like you said, streaming part of the content, having the in-person thing, realizing like what type of content is actually interested for people to engage with live versus they prefer ChatGPT to summarize it for them. Like, oh, you know, walk me through a little bit of how you think this, beyond COVID and this stuff, it almost feels like now too far,
yeah,
far in the past. I feel like in the last 2 years, there's even more changes that can impact this industry. But again, for me, it's not only, it's like from both sides, from a consumer of that industry, for me going to an event, but also from your side, being like running that complex operation of those shows.
Yeah, I mean, just to sort of walk you through, I guess you want to sort of understand how we put it together. Like, how do you create something like this? I mean, the beginning is about the, I wouldn't even say the agenda and the theme and the topic, although it's incredibly important. It's also the speakers that you manage to get. Those two things together is the very, like, that's phase one. What is the theme? For us, it's around change and transformation of the sector. And there are people excited by change and, like, let's chase what's possible. But I think a bigger driver is the fear of, like, missing out or falling behind other people, I think is a bigger driver. So we center the agenda around those two things, but across every single topic and possible area within the legal sector, whether it's in-house, whether it's law firms, which department of law firms, what job title are you at? We think of it like, I go to Glastonbury, I've been there quite a few times, it's the big festival in the UK, one of the biggest in the world, for people that don't know. I'd be surprised if you've not heard of Glastonbury. No matter what music you like, no matter what type of person you are, at any point in any day, there is music on that you're going to like 24 hours a day, 5 days across the week. And we're like, okay, how do we structure an event where no matter what time of day it is, there is something on for you, whether it's a session, a workshop, a roundtable, people to meet, something fun happening, music, after party. You never need to leave this event during the 2 or 3 days that it's happening. So it starts with the content, making sure there's something for everyone all the time. And then it goes down to the experience. You know, once you got your ticket, everything is included. It's the attention to detail. So many people commented, we had somebody with human signage at the train station directing people, like such a small thing, but people, like, they could feel those entering something the moment they got out of the train station. To like there being a live singer at 8 a.m. in the morning when people coming in and getting their coffee. It's just a really ambient vibe and barista coffee all over the place. You don't have to queue. There's good coffee all the time. It's included. The beers and high quality wine. Yeah, the lighting. So it's the attention to detail, but really it's like also bringing the right people together. There's always, you know, if you can bring it, the power of a big event is you can't really not be there because everybody else is there. And we're not quite there yet. I think maybe we will at this event. But once everyone sees that every single other one of their competitors, partners, investors is there, it then becomes like the first event on the map for people. And then it becomes easier for us. You know, we can come back every year.
Fascinating. Yeah, everyone that also have been in those massive music festivals is just mind-boggling the operation that you need to pull off. Because I don't know, both in professional and personal world, I'm sure most people had experienced both, like a bad event and a good event. And, you know, I always like to double click into those areas and like the things seem beyond the curtain, if you will.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty lucky that we've got a really good team and my co-founder, he covers all of my weaknesses and attention to detail on the operational side is his thing. me convincing people we're going to do a good event is my thing. So it kind of works quite well together.
Nice. Let's shift gears to the other thing about running events like that, your point that convincing people and all that stuff, is really the community aspect of it too. I know, again, both in the music festivals example you gave, but also in the professional events, I think people are coming, will tend to come to the same event again and again, assuming that it was, you know, year over year, assuming it was a good experience, because they start to form the same sort of a community, the same group of people. They'll see them every year. And I want to touch a little bit more on that topic, because I think communities are things that, you know, again, in the more digital the world becomes, the more people longing for to be part of a group that they can call their own, whether it's cheering for the same band or the same football team or whatnot. I think it's critical, but I see it in the business world too. Like, they want to go to the same place and say, and create that friend circle. How do you encourage that? Or like, how do you guys think about that? How do you approach that?
It was really, I felt it for the first time in the insurance industry. Our first event, you know, it's got 1,000 people. And then we repeated it in Hong Kong and New York. And there'll be a core people that will come to all three events around the world. And then even like in the second and third year in London, you'd see that core people growing and growing. But just in the queue for the ticket or to get their badge, like just how the feeling they get when they all get together. I mean, I was at Legal Week in New York a couple of weeks ago and had a ton of meetings there, and you just bump into people that you didn't know was going to be there. And it's like, oh, hey, when you know a group of people and another group of people come, it feels good. And, you know, I've been to some events in different countries where I didn't really know anyone, and it's a whole different feeling. You know, for me, I'm an extroverted introvert. So when I don't know people, I don't really want to go up to people and talk. So yeah, I think people feel that. And as a community in this legal space, it's been around for quite a while, but I think a lot of new people are entering it now. There's a lot of new players in the space that are sort of building this bigger and bigger community. Didn't know if that answers your question, but
yeah, you confirmed the thing. I'm kind of curious, like, I'm also obviously a CEO founder, and so I also focus most of my time on the business, but I am originally a tech guy, like an engineer, right, and a product person. So I always think about the angle of like, where does technology help? And I completely 100% agree with your statement of like, it's a different experience. Like, if you know a couple people in the event that are also going to that same event, it creates a bridge for most people. Like, most people are not comfortable. It doesn't feel good to them to just drop into a random group of people and start talking. Like, those exist for sure. They're usually salespeople. But in most cases, and especially in professional settings, events like that, where you go after practitioners, you know, in a certain topic, in this case, it's legal. In previous world, you had insurance and other. So it's not that common. So I was always thinking about, like, is there better technology you can use to see, like, who are you connected to, even in LinkedIn, or who are you connected to, you know, and like letting you know that you already signed to the event. It's not even about, that's also a way to bring you into the event, but even you're already in the signing to the event, like, hey, you might know people, you may know, type of thing. You might know those three people because you're connected to them with LinkedIn, like as simple as that. But you're like, oh, cool, John is here, type of thing.
Yeah, we had a little bit of that. So we use an AI-powered networking app, which is great. We white labeled it. It looks like it's our own app. We didn't build it, but we've been working with the builders of the app to progress it every year. Like, we've been using it in previous industries as well. And it's incredibly powerful. In one of the final events I was in insurance, I think there's like maybe 20,000 meetings booked through the app pre-event. Like, these are already pre-booked. And we had like these 200 networking tables, maybe just under 200, and from like nearly 7:30 a.m. There's one meeting on every single table back-to-back over the 2 days, and then other meetings happening elsewhere. That's incredibly powerful. You can filter attendees, but you can see who's coming. You know, we got 300 or so speakers on the website. So that's an easy, like, here's 300 people that are coming. So a lot of people will know who they are. I had one person come to the event last year who'd been on LinkedIn, super active on LinkedIn. Hadn't really seen as many people in person for quite a while. Came to the event and he was absolutely flooded by people. Oh, you're the LinkedIn guy. But just, I think he had to go and hide in a quiet room somewhere for a while.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about the topic, though, itself in legal, right? So part of your guys' job is, you talked about the content, is to also educate the community and, you know, bring speakers and bring, you know, the topics. Obviously, I'm sure AI is like the biggest topic, but what do you reckon? Like, what's the main kind of like trends in 2025? What is the market or, again, community sentiment of where we're going in that industry? And what are you feeling from the field?
The hot topic right now, and don't question me on it, you'll probably know more about it than me. I'm not the tech guy. I just bring tech people together. It's agentic AI. In the last 2 or 3 months, this is the sort of the next thing. I don't think anybody's really doing it. Maybe people are dabbling in it. But yeah, it seems to be agentic AI is the next phase of AI. But in terms of like the industry as a whole, you know, I'm in the legal space now. It's been, I think, one of the slowest sectors to evolve, but out of all sectors. And I think there's many reasons for that. The business model of law, it's risk averse. The partnership model, the incentive, like why do anything faster when you charge by the hour? What incentives do you have to change? So there's lots of reasons why it's been slow, but I think it's now sort of table stakes, and the cost of not doing something can be quite catastrophic. We've seen in other industries, there's retailers and department stores that don't exist anymore. Like there's no Toys R Us in the UK anymore. People buy their toys on Amazon. There's no Blockbuster, I think, globally now, because Netflix, why go to the shop and get your DVD? The taxi market's been impacted through Uber and Lyft and Bolt and others. So every industry's had these disruptors that's come and changed things. Banking, the banks have had to innovate because otherwise Monzo and Revolut would take even more market share. So I think from a legal industry perspective, they are not immune to this sort of radical disruption. We haven't seen that yet in terms of like an alternative legal service provider coming in and taking their market share, or a super sort of AI powered law firm. I still think, like, what if you got the 100 best legal minds together and hunted with an AI driven cloud native platform? Could they operate like a 4,000 person law firm and do it cheaper as well and just take loads of market share? I mean, these things can happen. I don't think it'll be overnight, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the space.
You know, in this podcast, we talk about change a lot and the idea that change is going to happen, period. And so you either let it happen to you or you kind of like drive it. I like your Blockbuster moment example. I think Blockbuster with Netflix situation, there's books about that and there's the commentaries about that. People can get more educated about it, but most people maybe don't remember or know that Netflix started as, let me send the DVD to you, right? So Netflix started before streaming was a thing, before the internet was strong enough, like fast enough to actually enable streaming. But the idea was basically the same, right? Instead of going to the store to go find a DVD, I'll ship it to you. And then you'll put it back in an envelope and send it back, type of thing.
The founders of Netflix also attempted to sell their business in the early days, the Blockbuster, and they got blasted out the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure there's many tech companies that have sold to law firms that have been laughed out the room as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the reason I'm highlighting that part in your edition is important too, is because folks in an industry like legal, and there's other industries too, might look at some of the progress with AI, some of the tools that are being created, some of the methodologies that are proposed to change, like you said, like maybe change the way we bill, right? Instead of bill by the hour, bill by a project or whatnot. They might look at it as an incremental, insignificant change, such as we're still selling DVDs, we're just sending them to you over mail versus you going to the store. And then some executive says, but I want to go to the store because I want to look at the options and choose, you know what I mean? But look down on it and miss the point that the point is the comfort of not leaving your home. And it's just a matter of time until the technology would be good enough to enable that fully. And I think, unlike Netflix and Blockbuster, AI moves much faster than the progress of the internet, because the internet, you needed the infrastructure in the home to be faster. So it's not even was only the technology, it was how do you bring it to the homes. This is not where we are right now with AI. It can move much faster than you think. And the model is the same. And I think that mental model is missing for a lot of those companies and executives to do the comparison. And I like the Blockbuster example very much, actually.
AI is exponentially improving, but the people are not moving at the same speed. Without people, then the AI is not quite as powerful, right? So,
but some people will, like you said, right? Some people will, and the end customer will, because the end customer want to someone to generate, to create a solid legal doc for them or review a legal doc for them. Some places are not going to be replaced quickly with AI, right? Like going to a court, you know, appearing in front of a judge is very different. But like, I actually don't know what the distribution of revenue is for a big law firm, but I'm sure that there's a big chunk of it that is at risk if they don't think forward there.
Well, it's the commercial clients where the biggest risk is for the big firms. Like, can they take work in-house that they were previously giving to their law firms? And I think if they can take a lot of it in-house with the power of AI, and they're already doing that, then yeah, that is a big risk. And if law firms don't adapt and innovate and become more efficient and do things faster and better, at better price as well, or maybe fix fees, then yeah, I think we'll see more in-house teams taking work in-house wherever they can.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Well, I think this is exciting. You want to share some details about your guys' next event?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to feel the sort of buzz and energy we're getting for the next event. We did our first event in June last year, and we got a lot of sort of innovation people and tech people from law firms and in-house counsel. It's exciting, I think, for the industry as a whole to see now that the managing partners and CEOs are coming. Quite big numbers. Previously, these people were described as blockers to change and blockers to innovation. Now they realize they have to be paying attention to what's going on. I think it's their law firm is on the line. Yeah, we're seeing some managing partners, global managing partners, some of the biggest firms, Magic Circle firms, and other firms from around the world. So I think that's a positive sign, not just for our event, but for the industry as a whole. 4,000 people coming together in London, a lot of fun, networking, good content. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's a nice energy around it.
Very good. Well, congratulations on all the success and good luck with this big event. Maybe to wrap up, I always like to ask, you've gone through a very different part of your career. Like, was there any early on advice that you took with you and you think it's worth paying forward?
Not directly related to this industry, but I think one pretty thing, different things I didn't deal with. But in my early days, someone told me to read this book called Go Give Us, which is about giving without expectation of getting anything back in return. And it's something that stuck with me. I read the book and just small things, you know, like I could take something from this conversation and talk to somebody 3 weeks later. And I think, like you would benefit from talking to this person or vice versa, or making an introduction. No expectation of anything back at all. And these small things like over years sort of stack up and come back around again. So yeah, That's just one bit of advice that's stuck with me.
Yeah. I like it. And I agree. If anyone wants to reach out, learn more, where do they find you? Is that LinkedIn? Is that X?
LinkedIn, Bradley Collins. That's where you can find me, or at Legal Tech Talk in June. I'll see you there.
Awesome. Hey man, thank you so much for doing this. That was a fun conversation. I appreciate you.
Likewise. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me and look forward to meeting in person sometime.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Cheers. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned on today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on the latest in business operations technology, head over to tonkin.com.